A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center, Sony Pictures Classics. More logos appear. Hercules Film Fund, Raya Films, Tea Time Pictures, First Love Films. Credits appear over black. Sony Pictures Classics presents. In association with Hercules Film Fund. A Tea Time Pictures production. A First Love Films and Raindrop Valley production. A Projected Picture Works production. A Raya Films production. A blurry view shows people walking through a room. Someone drives a cart with a blinking light. As the view sharpens, a woman with short blonde hair and dark eyebrows approaches. She looks calm as she walks down the airport hallway. Wearing black boots, she pulls a hard silver suitcase behind her as she leaves the building. She crosses the street and approaches taxis lined up at the curb. Under the night sky, a man wearing a yellow safety vest signals a cab forward. He turns to the blonde woman.
Hola, Rubia. Where to, mami?
44th, between 9th and 10th.
He hands the cab driver a slip of paper.
Here you go, buddy.
The blonde woman rolls her luggage to the trunk, then gets into the back seat. She turns off the video on the small taxi TV. The cab driver looks at the slip of paper, which shows the date and cross-street information. Holding a compact mirror, the woman touches up her lipstick. The driver presses buttons on the meter.
God damn it.
He pulls away from the curb.
Fucking asshole.
Smiling lightly, the woman tugs at the scarf around her neck and looks out the window. She removes the scarf and sets it beside her. She wipes her face and rubs her neck, then adjusts the lapels of her leather jacket. Her eyes wander around the cab. She focuses on the cell phone in her purse. Wearing a thoughtful expression, she looks away. The cab travels along the highway. Resting her elbow on the car door, the woman bites her thumbnail. She stares off toward the window. The cab merges onto a highway. The rear bumper bears scuff marks. In the cab, a view through the window shows the lights on subway cars sitting in a lot. The woman stops biting her thumbnail and turns her focus to the driver. She eyes his clean-cut gray hair, then looks at the photos attached to his sun visor. A vein runs up his muscular forearm. He taps his fingers on the wheel. The woman pulls her phone from her bag. A text from L reads, "Can I see you when you get home?" with "get" misspelled. L sends another text with an asterisk and "get" spelled correctly, then sends a question mark. The woman types "landed" and hovers her thumb over the send button before tapping it. She looks out the window. The driver glances at the blonde woman in the rearview mirror.
44th and 9th, huh?
She nods.
Yep.
Midtown.
Good old Midtown.
She looks down, then returns her gaze to the window. The driver glances at her again.
You are my last fare of the night.
Yeah?
Yep.
I won?
You fucking won, sweetheart, you did.
What do I get for winning?
Anything you want.
She grins. The middle-aged, goateed driver chews gum.
Yeah. I had a rough day of it. Short trips, barely nothing extra. It's fucking business with the credit cards, I mean. When it was cash, people throw you 10, 20, 50. Fucking Monopoly money, right? But you swipe that plastic, you got time to think. Staring at all those little numbers, before you know it, I get fucked up the asshole. These fucking apps, all of them. Get a coffee, burger, soap, socks, wine, water, weed, fucking Chinese takeout. You can get all that shit, never reach for your purse. Nah, not even for tip. I mean, salt used to be money. On the fucking salt, the same shit you sprinkle on your eggs. You know, every morning you toss that cheap-ass shit on your eggs with no idea that people used to die for it. Tea, coffee, same thing. All that shit you gloss over at the grocery store. At one point in time, humans fucking killed each other for it. Bird's eye view, all that shit. Over the years, you see money go from salt to gold to paper. Now, money. It ain't nothing but an idea, just little numbers on a screen. Can't touch it, can't bury it, can't put a little X that marks the spot. Nah, you just tie it to a fucking butterfly and send it up into that cloud up there. But one of these days, I'm telling you, that cloud's gonna open up and it's gonna pour acid rain down all over our dumb faces.
Well, I got you covered.
Yeah?
My bag in the back should settle us.
How?
It's full of salt.
He looks in the rearview mirror and smiles.
That's good. That's good. For that, you can use a damn credit card, honey. It is what it is at this point. I mean, cabs, yellow cabs are like fucking Blockbuster. You know? 10 years' time, there ain't gonna be no yellow cab no more. And all those other guys, the ones with the apps, the ones that are, you know, taking over, they're gonna be nothing but a blip on the screen, fucking blink of an eye, all said and done. Yeah, you'll order up a car on your phone, just like before. But when you hop in, it ain't gonna be no human behind the wheel, I can tell you that. You'll order up a car, and that fucking car will drive itself to wherever the fuck you want to go. It won't speed, it won't stink, it won't make you sick, it won't ever get lost. Might even ask you how your day was.
Smiling, the woman shakes her head lightly.
Fucking apps.
Fucking apps, man.
Want some radio?
Not really.
Yeah. Thanks.
The driver glances at the woman as she gazes through the window.
It's nice you're not on your phone. You don't have to keep talking to me or nothing, but just nice, you know? See a human, not plugged in.
The woman looks at her phone, which rests face down on her lap. She meets the driver's gaze in the rearview mirror and smiles.
What's your name?
Why?
I just like to know people's names.
Fuck, you really are human. That's sweet. Clark.
She looks at his ID on the partition.
Clark.
You thought I'd say Vinny or some shit.
I don't know what I thought.
No, it's fine. I mean, Clark has a house in the Hamptons. He plays tennis. He goes to the opera and shit. He's never, ever gonna be that guy.
What name would you choose if you could?
He knits his brow.
Vinny. Vinny.
Vinny. Classic.
Of course.
He smiles at her in the rearview mirror. They drive through a short tunnel and emerge onto the empty highway.
So you live here, right?
I do.
Your little outfit gave you away.
My little outfit?
Well, it says a lot about you.
What does it say?
You can handle yourself.
How could you possibly know that?
It ain't that difficult to read, people. I mean, you jumped in business as usual. You turned off that damn little screen back there because you already know what Broadway shows are fucking playing. You didn't even think to reach for your seatbelt. Why would you? Had enough rides in and out, am I right?
What else?
You gave me cross streets instead of some recited address from your phone. I can tell you're not concerned with the meter because you already know JFK's a flat rate.
Impressive.
Yeah. I'm not claiming to be some Sherlock or nothing, just a guy who pays attention. You've had a long day. You're tired. You want to go home, take a shower, sleep in your own bed, and you got in line for a motherfucking taxi. And that's a New Yorker that pays attention. Someone who knows what the fuck's going on.
He smiles at her in the mirror.
You're not afraid to look me in the eye.
Smiling, she narrows her eyes at him.
Like I said, you can handle yourself.
She looks away and nods slowly.
I like to think so.
Clark rolls down his window. He leans to the side and spits out his gum. Looking at himself in the rearview mirror, he adjusts his hair. He sits back in his seat and glances at the blonde woman. She smiles at him, then looks down at her phone. She taps her finger on the orange case, then glances at Clark before looking at the screen. A text from Elle reads, "Home yet? Can I drop by?" She replies, "In a cab," and the text messages appear beside her. Elle replies, "There you are. Hello." The woman responds, "Hola." Elle writes, "How do I say pretty?" The woman answers, "Bonita." She touches her neck. Elle writes, "You are very bonita." Smiling briefly, the woman responds, "Thank you." Elle texts, "I need you." "How do I say that?" Elle sends a question mark. The woman stares at her phone and bites her nail. She looks out the window. Blurred, multicolored lights twinkle and cars drive by.
Where are you flying in from?
Oklahoma.
What's in Oklahoma?
She texts, "I can't remember. I just started learning."
"I grew up there."
Elle replies, "When do you get home?" Looking conflicted, she lifts her gaze from her phone. She types, "It's going to be late, maybe another time." Clark looks at her in the rearview mirror. Elle responds, "But I need you." The woman smiles. Elle sends, "Need your pink, can you show me?" The woman rolls her eyes and looks away. She returns her gaze to her phone as Elle sends, "Put your phone between your legs, need to come. Help me come." The woman lowers her phone and shakes her head. The sign on top of the taxi reads, 22X1 off duty. Clark studies the blonde woman in the rearview mirror. She looks out the window with a troubled expression.
"What about your accent?"
"Sorry, what?"
"Your accent."
"My accent?"
"Yeah. Don't people from Oklahoma talk like this?"
Not all of us, apparently.
Where are you from? What part of the state?
Just a tiny little town.
What's the town?
You've never heard of it.
What's the town?
Okay, so Oklahoma's shaped like a pan, right? So if my arm is the panhandle...
Yeah.
Then I grew up... here...
The armpit.
Of Oklahoma.
She winks.
What's it called?
Gage.
Gage, Oklahoma.
Got it.
You know, I honest to God would never have guessed Oklahoma.
What would you have guessed?
Well, not an armpit, I can tell you that. How long you been in New York?
9 years in June.
No shit.
No shit. One more year and I'll be official.
What you do for work?
I'm a programmer.
Computer?
Computers.
No shit.
No shit.
Like ones and zeros and that shit?
Like ones and zeros and that shit. Ah. You thought I was gonna say something more girly, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. Wedding planner. No, fashion.
Fashion. Hmm. Not as many women code, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and you drew a line in the sand. Lifted your leg and left your mark.
I don't mind squatting.
He levels a stare at her in the rearview mirror. She raises her brows and he looks away with an amused smile.
So what's the deal with the ones and zeros?
Like?
They're like building blocks or whatnot. Like when I look at my computer, I'm really looking at a bunch of ones and zeros and shit.
Yeah, something like that.
No. Tell me. I mean, I honest to God want to know. Can't be a know-it-all if I don't know nothing.
Mm. Okay. Basically.
She puts her phone in her purse and uses hand sanitizer.
So a computer uses electricity to create on and off states. That can represent ones and zeros. One being on and zero being off. But they more often represent the idea of something being true or false.
Ones and zeros mean true or false?
Well, not always. They can also represent numbers and other things, but much of what I do is testing whether something is true or false, and I've always used one to mean true and...
Zero to mean false.
You got it.
Huh.
Everything in a computer, colors, images, music, money, three-dimensional worlds, all of it is represented by ones and zeros.
True and false.
Correct. It's basically how everything you see operates.
Clark unscrews the top of an insulated bottle.
I mean, makes sense. We all do that. Lay down our bricks of ones and zeros and build ourselves a fort.
The woman watches him use the bottle to water a small potted plant.
And that shit, it starts young, right? You are stupid. True or false? You are ugly. True or false? Your mother loves you. True or false? When you grow up, that shit don't stop. I mean, climate change, true or false? Jesus Christ, true or false? You must wear pants today. True or false? And so it goes. On and on. We all gotta choose our ones and zeros, and whatever we decide, yeah, that becomes the foundation from which we operate.
The woman studies Clark, and he looks away.
Or maybe I'm just talking bullshit.
Zero.
She sits back in the seat.
You're a surprising person, I must say.
Aw, shucks.
Very little surprises me these days.
What about you?
What about me what?
Where are you from?
Hell's Kitchen, or what used to be Hell's Kitchen, not too far from where we're going.
What was it like when you were a kid?
Back in my day. Man, if hell really did have a kitchen, that would have been it. You know, you had junkies on every stoop, hookers on every corner. Want a date? It's fantastic.
You still live in Manhattan?
I own a place, Jackson Heights. It's a small house.
Still a house?
You better fucking believe it.
So Clark lives in Queens.
No. Vinny lives in Queens. Clark, well, he's got a loft in Tribeca.
Right.
Clark drives toward an underpass. He pulls behind a line of slowing cars. Traffic cones and blinking yellow arrows direct traffic into one lane. A construction worker holds a sign reading, "Slow." The traffic passes through a construction site. Workers stand near vehicles and equipment. Floodlights shine brightly.
Oh, fuck, that ain't good.
Traffic stops.
Damn it. Some kind of fender bender up there.
The woman looks through the rear window.
Sorry, sweetie, I hate this shit.
Not your fault.
Fucking know these roads like the back of my hand, but still can't predict the weather. It's the one thing those fucking apps have on me. It's the one fucking thing.
It's fine, really.
No, it's not fine. It's not professional. I should have been paying attention. I could have gotten off back there.
Well, I'm on the flat rate.
Oh.
So?
No. I'm gonna meter your ass.
No. No, man. I won. I won again.
Oh, you're leaving me in the dust over here.
2-0.
He smiles and stares off. In the back seat, the woman's smile fades and her expression becomes serious. She looks toward Clark, who drums his fingers on the steering wheel. Knitting her brow, the woman looks away and bites her thumbnail. A small, thin cross tattoo marks the back of her hand. She glances at her phone in her purse, then shuts her eyes and exhales. As she opens her eyes, she stares at Clark. A close view shows his hands as he taps them on the top of the wheel. The woman bites her lip and looks away. Outside, an ambulance flashes its red lights. The woman brings her thumbnail to her lips and stares at Clark's hands. She looks at her phone, then reaches into her purse and takes it out. She looks at the string of messages from Elle. The latest messages read, "You there? Lost you." She replies, "Lo siento, stuck in tráfico." Elle replies, "How was the trip?" She hesitates before responding, "It was hard." "Good, but hard." Elle texts, "I'm hard." The woman lifts her gaze as more texts appear. "Mistio, asterisk, you. Need you, need your pink, your sweet tits. If you can't meet me, show me. Please, sweetie, help me come." A close view shows the woman's blue eyes as she stares off. She taps her gold earring with one of her long, colorful nails. Glimpses show her lightly rubbing her collarbone and Clark drumming the wheel with his hands. She returns her gaze to her phone. Elle texts, "You there?" with "there" spelled incorrectly. He corrects his spelling, then sends 3 question marks. The woman chews her fingernail, then types, "Here." Elle responds, "Will you?" She replies, "Will I what?" Elle texts, "Show me." Cock so hard, throbbing. "You have to see what you do to me." The woman wears an anxious expression. L sends an image of his erect penis, and the woman rolls her eyes and briefly looks away. She looks back at the phone and shakes her head. She texts, "Oh, baby." L replies, "You like?" The woman stares off briefly with a look of concern. Clark looks at her in the mirror.
"How long were you in Oklahoma?"
She meets his gaze.
2 weeks.
"You're visiting family?"
"I have a half-sister."
She reads Elle's messages. "Want to come for you. Need you to watch." The woman looks up in alarm. A video call notification from Elle appears, and she startles. Clark watches through the mirror as the woman glances toward the window. She declines the video call.
"What's she like? His sister?"
"She's, honestly, she's kind of a bitch."
"How's she a bitch? What'd she do?"
"You know, little things, like, she makes fun of my cankles."
"Your cankles?"
"I have thick ankles."
"Nah, I don't believe that."
"It's true."
You're small."
"I'm small, and I have thick ankles."
"That's a thing?"
"It's a thing."
"Sounds cute."
"Thank you. It is cute."
"I take it you and the bitch don't visit very often."
"I hadn't seen her in years."
"Why?"
"We just stopped talking. We didn't get in a fight or anything. We just stopped talking."
"Why now?"
"She tracked me down and asked me to visit, and I, you know, I didn't have a reason to say no. We had a nice time. I mean, she's a total fucking bitch, but we laughed a lot, and we just drank a lot and laughed a lot."
"Hmm. She married?"
"She has a girlfriend."
"Nice."
"Her name is Eagle."
"Fuck me, is that Native American or something?"
"That's right."
"Well, that's some cool ass shit right there."
"Hmm. Yeah. They seem happy. They live in a trailer and they just got a parakeet. Saving up to do some traveling next year. She's come a long way."
"She older or younger?"
"She was 11 when I was born, so..."
She takes off her leather jacket.
"She was kind of like a mom growing up."
"Hmm."
"She was a fucked up mom. Like, fucked up. She used to tie me up ankle to ankle, wrist to wrist, and put me in the bathtub and lock me in the bathroom."
"Fuck, what? It was a bathtub full?"
"Empty."
"Why the fuck would she do that?"
The woman shakes her head.
"It was her way of helping me practice."
"Practice what?"
She shrugs.
"If I ever got kidnapped, I'd be able to escape. That was her logic."
The woman smiles softly at Clark and lifts her brows. He looks away thoughtfully, then turns around to face her. As he regards her, she holds his gaze and shifts in her seat. He slides open the partition and stares at her.
"Did you like getting tied up?"
She tilts her head and studies him.
"I liked the challenge of getting free."
He regards her closely and shifts in his seat.
"You got loose, didn't you? You sat there in that cold tub, that cold, empty tub, and you wiggled yourself loose. Every fucking time."
She purses her lips and shrugs.
"Kidnappers be damned."
They share a smile.
"Like I said, you can handle yourself." "Did you get prize for getting loose?"
"Not really. By the time I'd get free, she'd be at work or whatever."
"Where was Mom?"
"Mom was gone."
"Where'd she go?"
Mom went out for a pack of smokes and never came back.
That's funny. You're funny. What are you, 25, 26?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't answer that question.
Why the hell not?
Because it's bullshit.
Well, what are you, weird about your age or something?
The whole world is fucking weird about my age. If I told you that I was 24 or 34, your opinion of me would drastically change.
That's not true.
For women, it is true. It is fucking true. The moment we hit 30, our values cut in half.
I mean, fine, fuck it. It's true.
It's fucking
it's
true.
It's fucking true. But listen, you really do look 20-something, but by the way you talk, all smart and shit, you know, if I wasn't looking, I would guess you were 50, so.
She shrugs.
So what does it matter how many times I've been around the sun?
Hell if I know. I guess it's just my way of trying to understand.
Understand what?
Well, it is a bit confusing to meet some chick who looks 22 but is clearly such a fucking rocket ship.
A rocket ship?
He lifts his hand.
That's you.
Yeah, that is me.
Yeah, feel it, own it.
Oh, I feel it.
Gonna take over the whole wide world, no question.
I'll build a small empire and leave the rest.
Yeah, you plan to share that empire with someone, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or whatnot? What, you need me to kick someone's ass?
No, it's okay.
What's their name?
His name doesn't matter.
You fuck up that bad? Come on. I told you my name. Tell me his.
I'd rather not say.
Oh, I see. I get it.
You get what?
I get it. He's married.
They stare at each other. Clark holds her gaze and she looks away.
Why do you think he's married?
You could have said his name and I would have never known. I mean, there's not only one Bob or Sam or Jeff in New York fucking city. No. You're afraid to say his name because the guy's married. Or you're married, or someone's fucking married. No one wants to say that shit out loud.
She shakes her head.
Gum?
Yes, please.
Clark takes two sticks of gum from the package and hands one to the woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The woman looks out the window as she puts the gum in her mouth. Clark puts the gum in his mouth quickly and starts chewing. The woman glances at Clark before lowering her gaze.
He's married.
I know he's married. I know people. Don't drive a cab 20 years and not know people. Word of advice. And this is coming from a man married twice. A lot of action on the side. You ready? Don't ever say the word love, all right? Just don't say it.
She nods and looks down. Clark watches her closely.
Oh, sweetheart. You fucking said it, didn't you? You did. You said the fucking L word. God, honey. Don't you, that's fucking suicide in that world. Didn't you know that? He does not want to hear that from you. He wants to hear it from his mother, his wife, his kids. But he does not want to hear that shit from you. In the cognitive wheel that is his life, that is not your function.
What is my function?
Sex. Sex. Touch me. Lick me. Suck me. But do not love me. Don't you fucking love me.
No, 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 no. No, that is not... I'm not that...
She puts her hand up.
I'm not that girl. Okay? I...
She shakes her head lightly and stares off.
I just couldn't not say it anymore.
Oh. Yeah, and what's he supposed to do? Love you back? He's supposed to ride in on a big white horse and whisk you away to some cliff in Greece. Live out his days braiding your hair with wildflowers and forget-me-nots. No fucking way. He's not going to be there when your olive oil dries up, sweetheart. You're not that important. He knows that. I know that. You just got to catch up. It's all right. Got to change your ones to zero, sweetie. I get it. It takes time. Honest to God, my first wife was everything you'd ever want.
5'8", 115 pounds, tits out to here, hair full of bleach, and a head full of nothing. Men love women that are dumb as shit. They're fucking pigs in the bedroom. Motherfucking pigs in the bedroom, and we love that shit.
You think smart women can't...
cannot reduce themselves to pigs in the bedroom? That's right. Can't have both ways. Doesn't exist.
That's not true.
You're a smart girl. Went to college. Read a lot. Talk politics. All that shit.
Yes.
You ever been a pig in the bedroom?
What is your definition of a pig?
You see, dumb chicks can't... they don't need to explain it, and they just do it. I was my first wife. And everything a guy could ask for. She started gaining weight and made her feel bad about herself, and she stops wanting to,
Oink.
Do her wifely duty or whatnot.
Oh, yes, wifely duty.
And then, no time flat, honest to God, I find myself a 19-year-old. Put her up in an apartment, paid for the whole damn thing.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Cute little thing, Polish, long legs, fucked the shit out of her. It was the best year of my life. Would have kept her around longer. But.
The L word.
Not your function. You are there because their wives had kids and got fat, or their wives have a career or cancer or whatever the fuck. But men don't want to hear that shit coming out of your mouth. They barely want to hear you say a word at all.
Then why get married? Why don't men just stay single so they can fuck whoever, whenever, wherever?
Whomever.
I'm sorry. Seriously?
Men. We want to look good for other men, if that makes sense. We want to have a fancy suit, big house, fast car. He who dies with the most toys wins. Yeah. I was talking about the suit, the car, the house, but it also includes the wife and the kids. The toys. Now, a lot of guys out there, maybe they did fall in love. Maybe they did really want to get married and have kids and whatever the fuck. But deep down, really being honest, looking like a family man's more important than being one.
Chewing her gum, the woman looks away. She shakes her head and looks at Clark.
There are good men out there.
Yeah, but they are very few and very far, more than you'd ever want to know.
The woman rests her elbow on the door and shifts in her seat.
Women cheat, too.
Different reasons. Women want to feel sexy. They want to feel sexy because they want to feel wanted. And they want to feel wanted because they want to feel loved. And there it is. The L word again.
This is such fucking bullshit. I'm certain there are plenty of women out there who can cheat just like a fucking man.
Sure. Sure, there are women out there that just want to get fucked, no question. But those women, they don't fuck any Joe Blow down the street. Now, they reserve their skills for men that have money. Men who have power, thus causing the whole world of men to want money and power all the more. The suit, the house, the car. We want those things. We want those things. Because we want those skilled women to fuck us senseless like a man, no strings attached. Therefore, you ladies fighting so hard to be our equal is actually, in essence, still reducing most of you to nothing but toys. So the cycle continues.
I seriously fucking hate you right now. This is everything that's wrong with the world.
Look, at the end of the day, I do agree with you. Man or woman, people are people.
Thank you.
And people get lonely. Don't matter the reason. Humans just want a soft spot to rest their heads for an hour, even just a fucking hour to get outside of yourself. But in your case, in your particular case...
In my case, what?
You mean it. You don't use the L word unless you mean it, do you?
She furrows her brow.
Look, I know you're not that girl, all right? I can tell. It's not about having babies for you. It's not about bullshit. It's about being distracted. Just long enough that you can forget about whatever the fuck happened in Gage, Oklahoma all those years ago. Then one day, for whatever reason, this guy grabs your attention. Suddenly you want things you never fucking wanted before, am I right?
No.
Good news is for you. You'll know right away when it happens next time, because you'll know what the fuck is going on. You won't be caught with your panties down on next round, sweetie. Unless you want to be.
Please just don't use the word panties. Say, like, literally anything else.
Pantaloons, underwears.
Great.
Regardless, it will happen again. Oh, yeah, you'll meet someone. You'll meet someone. Doesn't matter where. And the conversation will start to go in a certain way. Men know how to do that. Steer the talk to see if there's interest. When you met your fella, he was doing the same thing. He was poking around to see if you had any candy to give. And there you were, thinking how great this guy is and how nice he's listening. And oh, such a warm, perfect smile, the warmth behind the eyes. Bullshit. Bull fucking shit, sweetheart. It wasn't no accident. He's done it before and he'll do it again. Ain't nothing special about it. No. I gotta piss like a fucking racehorse.
Clark grabs a water bottle and the woman looks alarmed.
Whoa, no. Do not do that in here.
What am I supposed to do?
Take it outside, man.
And get arrested?
Who the fuck's gonna arrest you? Come on, Hell's Kitchen. Like you've never peed outside before.
Fuck.
He gets out of the cab. The woman turns to look through the rear window. Headlights shine on her face. She settles back in her seat and blows a small bubble with the gum. The gum pops, and she continues chewing slowly. The woman looks around. She notices a toddler in the back seat of the car parked next to the cab. The toddler eats snacks from a bag. The woman smiles softly as she watches her. As the toddler turns to face her, the woman waves. The toddler moves her hand back and forth. The woman's grin widens as she watches the toddler move a goldfish cracker through the air. Holding out the cracker, the toddler pulls a piece of her hair and looks away. The woman's gaze moves toward the front of the car. Wearing a troubled expression, she chews her gum and stares off. Clark returns to his seat. The woman startles slightly as he shuts the door. Clark glances at her in the rearview mirror, then takes his gum from his mouth and puts it in the wrapper. He glances at the woman as she stares through the window.
Give me his card.
What?
He gave me his card. He didn't ask for my number or anything.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
No, but that's my point. He gave me his card and I emailed him, not the other way around.
Yeah, he's good. I bet that man gives out a shit ton of cards wherever he goes. I mean, it's a numbers game. You know, sometimes he gets the candy, sometimes he doesn't. But you better believe he's dishing out those cards like it's fucking ice cream. And when you contacted him, sweetie, you gave away your first piece of candy. You can't blame the guy for wanting more. You think about it. His card. It had a business email on it, right? How long did it take him to switch you over to something a little more private? Blink of a fucking eye, am I right? He wasn't looking for love, sweetheart. He wasn't looking to replace his wife. Who the hell wants to go to all that trouble? No. He's all set up just the way he wants to be. He was just looking for another toy to play with. And clearly, he found one. For all your smarts and all the time and effort and everything you've clearly done to make yourself a fucking fortress somehow, you found yourself
back in that bathtub again. Your hands and legs all tied up, fighting so hard to get free.
The woman looks at Clark, who turns slightly with his hand on the wheel.
1 to 2. I'm catching up.
You done yet?
What?
You've said very little in a very long time that I don't already know.
So?
So go fuck yourself.
Clark smiles and drops his head. He peers at the woman in the rearview mirror. She looks out the window and shakes her head.
Listen, I run my mouth sometimes. That's my problem. I just like to push buttons. Stuff like this. It's just something people don't want to talk about. Who the fuck wants to talk about this shit? No one. Look, you're a wonderful person. A human. You ask me about my name and shit. And, you got a good heart. I can see that. Which is why I just got to tell you, you're better off walking away. And I'm not saying that because I think I'm smarter than you. I'm saying it because I used to be that guy. Doing what your guy's doing. And I'm looking at your face like that, all sad and shit. That's why I don't go for the full candy no more. I take a blowjob on the side every now and then, but some of you girls, you grow a conscience in the morning, and I just can't deal with it. I'm too old.
He looks at her in the mirror.
Your guy, young or old?
Old.
How old?
Old.
Like what? Like daddy type shit?
It could be my father, yeah.
So I'm guessing you don't have a daddy, right?
I mean, I do, but...
Oh, but you don't have a daddy and you wanted him to be a daddy, am I right?
Looking annoyed, she shakes her head.
You ever call him daddy?
She keeps her gaze lowered. She smirks.
2 to 2.
We're tied.
We are tied.
Oh, you call him daddy.
I do.
That's hot.
It's fucked up.
That's nothing fucked up about that. I don't know psychology very well, but I know it don't take rocket science to figure out that there's a little girl inside you. The one you used to be. She didn't go anywhere. And that little girl, she didn't have a daddy, but she still needs a fucking daddy, right? So, you meet this guy with his bald head and his liver spots and whatever the hell he's got going on. Would make most girls your age want to puke, but not you. Because he's everything you missed out there in the back in the day. He's all the things your friends had, but you didn't fucking have. And the little girl inside, she just wants a daddy to hold her. Tell her nice things, tell her bedtime stories. But the grown woman on the outside, well, she wants a different kind of bedtime story, if you catch my drift. Put the two together, and that guy has a chance of having something he never would have touched otherwise.
Me?
She wipes her nose and looks at Clark. Resting one arm on the wheel and the other on the seat, Clark turns to face her.
You. He's a lucky son of a bitch to have gotten you a candy, if you don't mind my saying. He got kids?
He does.
How many?
3.
Shit. How old?
Young.
His wife young?
No, I think they just waited.
Have you met her?
No.
You seen her?
No.
But you've seen pictures. Come on. This day and age, you want to find a picture, you can find a fucking picture.
Why do you care?
Huh? To be honest, I drive around in this beast all day. You got time to do nothing but think, you know? When you think too much, you ask too many questions. Nothing special about it. But hey, it ain't all for nothing. I mean, who else are you gonna talk to about this shit? Not like you're ever gonna see me again.
The woman looks pensively out the window.
I found one picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty private.
They both in the picture?
They're at some... some corporate thing, like an award thing.
Mm-hmm. And what are they doing in the picture?
They're just smiling. They're sitting next to each other and they're just... smiling at the camera.
And
they just look normal. They just look normal.
He win the award?
He did.
Hmm. Was he some kind of big shot? Somebody I'd recognize?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And how old is she, the wife?
Late 40s, I'd say.
Hmm. She pretty?
She looks really sweet.
So she's not pretty.
She's lovely. She has this huge smile, like a really happy smile.
She looks away and her expression becomes thoughtful.
I looked at that picture for a really long time. And I had this really strange feeling that maybe...
She grins.
That she and I could have been friends.
Maybe. Another time, another place, maybe.
She looks at Clark and purses her lips.
You ever meet the kids?
God, no.
Seen pictures?
He shows me pictures.
Fuck, like on his phone?
Yeah. Videos, too.
Wow, fuck. I mean, that's some trust. I mean, that's some fucking trust right there.
She shakes her head.
Huh.
What?
You did it.
What'd I do?
I don't know, but you did something. I mean, he let you win. That's as far as anyone in your position could ever go.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Look, it don't change anything, but it is a compliment. Kids cute?
They're adorable.
Boys, girls?
Twin boys and a girl. He showed me this video of his daughter dancing. She's just 3 years old and she's wearing this like red cape, like a princess cape or something, and she's just twirling and twirling and twirling.
Dancing for her daddy. That's sweet. You ever dance for your daddy? I mean, your real daddy when you were a kid?
No.
She shakes her head, then looks at Clark. He looks away briefly, then holds her gaze.
I did have a cape, though. I had a long purple cape. And made me think I could fly.
Cape wasn't lying. You can fly just fine.
She smiles and looks away.
So what about the twins? What did they do?
They seem like good kids.
And you get the feeling you could have been friends with the kids another time, another place.
She studies Clark.
Yeah, well, he can pretend to be your daddy, but he's got to be their real daddy, so you get why you ain't going to Greece. Here we go.
Clark turns forward in his seat. Emergency personnel in reflective jackets motion to drivers. Car parts lie strewn across the road and fluid stains the asphalt. Smoke drifts from an overturned car. Clark pulls forward slowly with the other cars. He and the woman peer out at the crash site.
Shit, that ain't no fender bender.
Two firefighters talk as they stand near the car. They point at something in the distance. Wearing a disturbed expression, the woman keeps her gaze on the car as the cab passes the crash. Lights flash on a parked fire engine. The woman faces forward. Now the cab travels along the highway in one of the center lanes. Clark focuses on the road while the woman stares glumly toward the window. Clark tugs briefly on his shirt collar and glances at her in the mirror. Clark drives onto the Long Island Expressway toward the Midtown Tunnel. He speeds along a ramp. Outside, a blurred view of street lamps sharpens. The woman stares off and purses her lips. She picks up her phone and looks at the screen. New messages from L read, "Lost you, you there? Paying bar tap, asterisk, tab, heading home for the night. See you next time?" She responds, still stuck in traffic. He replies, "Sorry for being a dick. Sober now. Lots of water." He sends a smiley face with a colon and parenthesis. The woman glances toward Clark, then types, "Old school smiley, classic," then adds the same smiley face. Elle responds, "Proud of you for going. Just missed you. Missed the smell of you, those lips, your skin." He corrects the spelling of "your." The woman glances away, then types, "Missed you too." She hesitates, then hits the send button. She texts, "Makes me wet thinking of you." She licks her lips, dripping wet. She types, "Daddy," then hits the send button. L responds, "Fuck. Send pic please, honey. Daddy needs you." Wearing an anxious expression, the woman glances toward Clark, then looks out the window. They pass streetlights. A close view shows the woman's eyes. She watches Clark's eyes in the rearview mirror and rubs her forehead. Clark taps his fingers on the wheel. The woman bites her nail and looks down at her phone, which displays her albums. She scrolls through the albums and clicks on one with a photo of a black cat titled "Private." It contains several photos of her naked torso. She taps on one and it fills her screen. She zooms in, then crops the photo slightly. Clark looks in the rearview mirror to find the woman staring at her phone. He returns his gaze to the road. The woman attaches the photo to the message with L. She sends it. L responds, "Oh, darling, did you let your driver watch you? So naughty." The woman glances toward Clark. L texts, "Thank you, princess." Looking unsettled, the woman knits her brow. She rubs her neck and tilts her head. Clark looks at his passenger.
11 years. Big difference. Your sister being that much older.
She lowers her phone and brushes her knuckles against her lips.
Yeah. She was only 17 when we both left home. I was 6.
You run away?
I went to live with her.
I mean, I can't imagine any Oklahoma judge saying that was all right.
No. No, no one said it was all right, but that's what happened.
You live in the armpit with your sister?
We moved, actually, to Woodward. Like 20 minutes away. into her boyfriend's house.
Boyfriend?
She had boyfriends back then.
Huh? Why did you go to live with your sister?
The woman lowers her gaze. Clark looks at her in the mirror.
Did your daddy do something? Something he shouldn't have done?
No, it was never like that.
What was it like?
Well, he, he actually never touched me.
I mean, not one hug, not one?
Didn't have to be a hug. You know, pat on the back would have been nice. A fucking high five. But I remember the day we left. My sister jumped in her car and my dad was, sitting on the front porch. And before I left, I turned and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he got up and he walked over to me and he reached out and he shook my hand.
She smiles at Clark.
I'd never shaken anyone's hand before. I was six. I was just little, you know, but I knew what it meant.
What did he look like, your pop?
Oh, he was a cowboy.
Never met a cowboy before. Gonna put that on my list, you know, before I die. Number 22, meet a motherfucking cowboy.
What else is on your list?
I've already done most of it.
Like what?
Like, I learned to scuba dive last year. Took a trip to Nassau, sat on the edge of a boat. And, you know, they make you fall backward, right? So you fall back in the water and you start to let the wind out of your sails. And you go down, down, down. I mean, I didn't go too far. I don't have the training for that and crazy stuff like shipwrecks or whatnot. Saw a blue whale even yet. Big ass whale passed right by us. I mean, just swimming along like it was nothing. Fucking poetry, that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, big fucking wow. I don't know if I'll do it again.
Why not?
It takes a lot of guts to breathe underwater. That's the biggest challenge, just telling you. Allowing your body to do this thing it wasn't meant to do, you know. I wasn't afraid to see a shark. Wasn't afraid to be alone. Mostly just afraid of breathing. I mean, that's pretty scary shit when you're afraid to breathe.
She knits her brow and tilts her head.
I always liked sharks. Did you see one?
He shuts one eye and smiles.
No. But I always tell everyone I did. You know? Great white shark, 13 feet long, 2-3 tons, just swimming around me looking for lunch. Until I look him straight in the eye, give him the middle finger, and that shark swims the fuck away because he knows what's going on.
Wow. That's your story?
I fucking love that story.
What's on your list that you haven't done?
Oh, I do want to go to Japan one day. Heard a lot about it. Heard about how they got these vending machines with used bloomers in them.
Bloomers?
Panties.
Oh, come on, man. We've been over this.
I tried to call them something else. You didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. They got used panties.
Oh, God. No.
Panties no. And vending machines.
Oh, my God.
That's what I heard. I gotta see that shit.
They can't really be used.
I don't give a fuck either way. It'll be mind of a matter on that one. What about you? Huh? What's on your list?
I don't know.
Come on, talk to me.
She looks at him and smiles.
Well, I have always wanted to learn how to swing dance.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like get tossed around and stuff. It looks like a lot of fun. I think I'd be good at it.
I bet you would.
And I want to be one of those freaky bird watchers in Central Park who just knows everything about all the birds. Someone who can recognize their calls. Just want to be a bird lady.
What else?
I've been thinking about having a little herb garden in my window. You know, just basil and stuff. Try to remember to use it when I'm cooking, which isn't very often. I like the idea of it being there.
What else?
I want to hablar español perfectamente. And I want to go to Oaxaca during Noche de Rábanos, and I want to eat all the things. Like the ants and the, you know, the crickets. And yes, I do want to stand at the edge of a fucking cliff in Greece and dive off that motherfucker.
What else?
What do you mean, what else? I just told you so much.
Well, it's time for me to ante up.
Yeah, damn straight.
How many chips you got on the table?
Two. We're tied, remember? 2-2.
And you raise me one.
And it better be a good one.
I'll give you a good one, you'll match me.
I'm not gonna let you win, that's for damn sure.
All right. I can hang.
It's gotta be something personal, okay? Not one of, like, your little anecdotes.
Well... Fuck, I don't know.
Like,
she rests her arms on the partition window.
How'd you meet your wife?
Which one?
First one.
He nods.
She threw up in my cap.
Classy.
Yeah, she was clubbing. You know, she was like with her girlfriends, ladies' night or some shit. And they were all in these tight dresses and high heels, and they smelled like booze and sweat and flowers. And I was in heaven. All these pretty ladies jammed in my cab, sitting on each other's laps, talking so loud, laughing, screaming out the window. And I gotta tell you, I gotta be honest. My cock was so fucking hard. It was just pounding in my panties.
Oh,
because,
my God.
God, the odds were I was going to get lucky that night. If I didn't get lucky, at least I'd get enough good material to rub one out at the end of the night. You know what I mean? Then out of nowhere, Blondie doubles over in the back, empties his stomach, which wasn't holding that much, I'm thankful to report.
And what happened?
There's not much you can do. You know, drop him off and get back to the garage, hose down the cab. And there it was. Right there. Her purse. So, next day she calls the company, and me, being the gentleman that I am, I offer to bring it out there myself. And I didn't have to jerk off after paying her a visit, I can tell you that.
He smiles wistfully.
Why did you marry her?
Man. She was a doll. Dumb as shit. But still, she was a sweetheart. He used to play pranks on her, you know. Hide behind the couch, then jump out. Or putting sugar in the salt shaker, just dumb shit like that. And she always laughed about it, you know. She'd choose to laugh about it. Like, when something happens, and you got a choice, that choice to get pissed off or to laugh it off, she'd laugh. She'd choose to laugh every time.
She ever get you?
What, a prank?
Mm-hmm.
She did one time. She poured cold water over me when I was in the shower. It's like a bucket of ice water, Niagara Falls. And I had that same choice, you know, to either to get pissed or to laugh it off.
And what did you choose?
I laughed my fucking ass off. Chased around the house in my birthday suit. She's screaming like a little girl and everything, like we were playing tag and shit. Finally caught her in the kitchen. That was a good day.
I bet she's a lot smarter than you give her credit for.
Resting her chin on her arms, the woman studies Clark.
Do you miss her?
Tears glisten in Clark's eyes as he glances around.
I do sometimes. Yeah. She was like a summer day, you know? Not too complicated, just, you know, beer and bag of chips and we were set. 3-2. You gonna match me or what? I mean, that last one's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, you surprised me there.
I surprised myself. I don't talk about my shit.
Oh, you think I talk about my shit?
Oh, there you go. That's what's on the table. Let's talk about the shit. Let's talk about all the shit.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. I think it's something juicy.
Easy. Make it about your daddy.
Which one?
You pick.
Fuck.
Come on. There's got to be at least one more thing you haven't told me, something you're just dying to say out loud.
She sits back in the seat.
Take your time. Not like I'm going nowhere.
Manhattan stretches out in front of them. The woman looks out the window. They pass a car. Lights shine in skyscrapers. Resting her chin on her hand, the woman gazes out toward the city with a pensive expression. The Empire State and Chrysler Building stand tall against the night sky. They drive toward a brightly lit tunnel. In the tunnel, tiles decorate the curved walls. The woman looks out the window with her thumbnail resting on her lip. She stares off with a contemplative expression and rests her chin on her hand. She shifts in her seat and looks at her phone. Texts from L read, "Sorry, twins woke up. Got one down, one to go." She responds, "Who's still up?" L texts, "Marlon. He had a bad dream." The woman types, "Poor baby." And L replies, "Been looking for monsters under the bed, so we can stab them with a sword." The woman wears a small smile. The light-up sword? Yep. What color is it set to? Green. She types out, "Perfect color for killing monsters," then hits send. She gazes at her phone expectantly as three blinking text dots appear. He writes, "Exactly. Sorry, should go." She bites her bottom lip and replies, "Wait." He responds with a question mark. She takes a deep breath and sends, "Did it bother you when I said I loved you?" L replies, "No." The woman rubs her bottom lip and stares at the phone. She types, "It seemed to bother you," and hits send. L replies, "Surprised me, but did bother me." Asterisk, didn't. The woman smiles slightly and replies, "Okay." Elle texts, "I care more than you think. You're important." The woman types, "But what does that mean? I don't know what that means." She lifts her brows and shakes her head slightly, then deletes the message. She scratches the back of her neck, then types, "Yeah," and sends it. Blinking dots appear. "Yes, always have been. Sorry, Marlin needs me." The woman replies, "Go kill all the monsters." He responds, "I will. Good night." Blinking dots appear, and the woman watches them intently. He sends, "Love you too." The woman looks up toward the rearview mirror. Clark meets her gaze, and they stare at each other. They emerge from the tunnel and drive through several underpasses. In the city, Clark crosses to a center lane and drives through a green light. They pass buildings with scaffolding and a person walking on a crosswalk. Clark drives with a calm expression. His passenger gazes somberly toward the window.
"Got a few more minutes if you still want to play for the win."
He looks over his shoulder, then turns back to the road and smirks.
"What's left? What have you not told me about?"
She smiles.
"Last night, my sister and I, we got drunk. We got really drunk, and we were sitting outside her trailer. And she has these little chili pepper lights, like Christmas lights or something, you know, just draped around. And we sat in these old beach chairs and just drank and drank."
"What about Eagle?"
"Eagle was around. She was grilling up some burgers."
They stop at a yellow light.
"You talk about the bathtub?"
"We did. We did. I brought it up and she just laughed. She laughed so hard she cried. She didn't apologize or anything. It was amazing."
"What else did you talk about?"
"We talked about just everything, like the perms our mom used to give us. Sitting on a stool in the kitchen with this like old pink towel draped over our shoulders, and you know, that smell, that horrible perm smell that just sticks around for days. And we start talking about that day. The day she took me away. And I told my side of the story, and then she told her side."
"What did she tell you?"
"She said that our dad was on the porch that day. And, that we passed him as we walked to the car. And then she said that she got in the car. And then I got in the car. And we just drove away. She said, he didn't shake your hand that day. But when I think back on it, it doesn't make any sense. Because I remember it so clearly. Even I remember the feel of his hand. I remember thinking it felt like sandpaper."
"So which of you is right? You or your sister?"
"I don't know. But if that memory isn't real, The moment my father finally touched me. Then I don't know what is, man.
Ones and zeros.
She nods.
Yeah, ones and zeros.
I got a story kind of like that.
He touches a photo on the visor.
About my pop. That moment where everything comes into focus. And then goes out again. But that's a story for another cab ride.
We're tied again. 3-3.
3-3. Nice.
He smiles at her, then looks toward the road. They pull up at a stoplight. The light turns green, and they drive. The woman spots two people kissing on the sidewalk.
We did a rain dance last night. The three of us, just drunk. But Eagle showed us how.
Did it rain?
Well, that's the thing.
She stares off tearfully and pats her nose with her sleeve.
Two weeks ago, when I flew to Oklahoma.
She looks at Clark.
I was pregnant.
Wearing a solemn expression, Clark glances to the side.
What did your daddy have to say about that?
The woman shakes her head.
I never told him.
A tear runs down her cheek.
I never told anyone.
Clark looks down briefly.
Did you get rid of the baby?
It got rid of me.
He looks at her in the mirror.
The first day in Oklahoma, I started bleeding. And my sister didn't know. I just told her I was having a bad period, like a really bad period, and she let me sleep a lot and gave me a heating pad and some ice cream, and but then after 7 days, when I kept bleeding, I had to hide the tampons and pretend it was just a normal period that had ended. I had to get up and go out and meet her friends and just feeling like...
She shakes her head, then shuts her eyes briefly. A tear lingers below her eye.
Like trash.
As she cries, she brings her shirt sleeve to her mouth. Laying her hand on her chest, she looks out the window.
I wasn't gonna keep it.
She shakes her head as tears roll down her face.
I had made up my mind. I wasn't gonna keep it. And I wasn't gonna tell anyone. But then... But then when it happened... When it just... just happened on its own. I was so relieved. I had never been more relieved in my whole life. And then last night,
She wipes her nose.
When we were dancing, in my mind,
she shuts her eyes.
I really did. I just begged the sky to rain down on me. To just clean me. To wash it all away. The whole fucking thing. I asked the sky to just take it from me.
With her eyes closed, the woman bows her head.
And then this morning I woke up.
She wipes her eyes.
And I wasn't bleeding anymore. It had stopped after 2 weeks.
She turns her gaze toward Clark. Wearing a sympathetic expression, he glances at her.
Rain dance worked.
He smiles gently. Clark nods slowly. The woman smiles at him.
4-3.
Shit. I fold.
I win.
Can't beat that, that's for sure.
He beams tearfully.
Fuck.
Goddamn.
The woman wipes her eyes. Clark shakes his head wistfully. His expression grows somber. In the back seat, the woman wears an uneasy expression as she looks out the window. She wipes a tear beneath her eye. A view through the cab window shows high-rises lit up in the night sky. They drive through an intersection and under a bridge. Clark's cab stays in focus as the street around it blurs. Now they follow a garbage truck. Clark turns onto a quiet street. He pulls up to a curb next to a fire hydrant and stops. The woman takes her wallet from her purse and opens it. She looks inside and smiles.
I don't have any cash. I'm sorry.
No one ever does.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna leave you a big tip, though.
Yeah. My advice don't come for free. You gonna need a receipt?
No, I'm good.
Clark reaches toward the meter. Looking emotional, he shifts in his seat. The woman swipes her credit card in the machine. Under tip amount, she hits custom, then types $500. She taps submit, and her total shows $553.75. Clark gets out and opens the trunk as the woman puts on her scarf. Clark takes the suitcase from the trunk and extends the handle. The woman steps out of the back seat and shuts the door. The driver and passenger face each other.
So.
They look at each other, and she smiles. Looking somber, Clark tilts his head.
You gonna be all right?
She looks at him with an uncertain expression.
I don't know.
Your brain is a little confused right now. It's in a panic, because you ain't used to breathing underwater. And it's telling you you're in way over your head. This is it. No way out. Done. End of story. You just keep breathing, no matter how far down you go. You keep breathing.
You're gonna be all right. Someone like you.
He shakes his head.
You are not a shipwreck. You're gonna swim back up. Swim back up to all that light and life and colors. You are.
His eyes glisten as he nods. A tear runs down the woman's cheek as she smiles at him. Clark bites his lip and looks away.
You might even see a blue whale.
I hope so.
Clark extends his hand. The woman stares down at it and furrows her brow. She looks at Clark, then places her hand on his cheek and strokes his skin with her thumb. She shakes her head.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
He smiles sadly as tears well in his eyes. The woman removes her hand. She grins and wipes away a tear.
You have a good night.
She pulls her suitcase along the sidewalk. At her building, she picks up the suitcase and carries it up the steps. Leaning against the cab with his hands in his vest pockets, Clark looks at her. At the door, she sets down her suitcase. Clark glances away.
Mikey.
She turns.
What?
I just always felt more like a Mikey, not like a Vinny, not a Clark. If it were up to me, I'd choose Mikey.
Crossing the sidewalk, he leans against the banister and gazes up at the woman. She returns his gaze, and he nods.
Good night, Mikey.
She turns back to the door. Clark watches her enter and shut the door behind her. She waves at him through the tall window, then opens another door. Clark lowers his gaze, then puts his hands back in his vest pockets. Turning toward his cab, he lifts his gaze to the sky. He lowers his gaze to the ground, then steps to the back of the cab. A view from inside the trunk shows him reaching up and shutting the lid. Cut to black. A title, Daddy-O. Credits appear, written and directed by Christy Hall. Produced by Dakota Johnson, Roe Donnelly, PGA. Produced by Emma Tillinger-Koskoff, PGA. Christy Hall, PGA. Produced by Paris Kasidokostas-Latsis, Terry Dugas, PGA. Executive Producer, Jean-Luc DeFanti. Executive Producers, Max Work, Kostas Tsoukalas, Christopher Donnelly. Director of Photography, Faden Papamichael, ASC, GSC. Production Designer, Christy Zia. Edited by Lisa Zeno-Churgan, ACE. Costume designer Marin Gordon Crozier. Music by Dickon Hinchliffe. Dakota Johnson and Sean Penn. co-producer James Price. Credits roll. Unit production manager, Heath Jacob Baldwin. First assistant director, James Grayford. Second assistant director, Isabella Olaguera. Cast, Dakota Johnson as Gurley, Sean Penn as Clark, Marcos Gonzalez as taxi line attendant, Zola Lloyd as girl with a fish. Song, My Heart Beats for You, Kalbi Daki Lak, written and performed by Ahmad Khalil. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2024 Beverly Crest Productions, LLC. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Sony Pictures Classics, read by Sylvie Zamora. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Hercules Film Fund. Raya Films. Sony Pictures Classics.